There you go. You mentioned, hey, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Do you have a favorite theologian? Do you? Who's your favorite theologian? Well, would it be William Bancroft, Harry Thiessen? Would it be, how about this? Bing Crosby? Nat King Cole? Huh? Have you heard a guy named Andy Williams? We used to have these things back in the old days. They were called LPs. They were big, about like this big. You put them on an old record player, you winded it up there. And he used to sing, Andy Williams used to sing a song that we love and we hear on the radio right now. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Folks, you look right now here in First Fairleigh, and no doubt those listening by radio in your own homes. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. Who had a good Thanksgiving? Would you raise your hand? Thanking the Lord, being with your family and friends. Wonderful. We're on the backside of a Thanksgiving season, and now we're launching into a five-week celebration of the coming of Jesus Christ again to planet Earth. His second coming, his first coming, look up here, took place in the manger. His first coming, his second coming is something we look forward to again. I have a Christmas gift for you. Since it's the most wonderful time of the year, I have a Christmas gift for you found in God's holy word in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Would you open your Bibles with me, please? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Well, preacher, we've been in chapters 1 and 2 for the past 6 weeks. Yes, we're going to be completing our autumn sermon series today. A culmination of everything we learned, but your gift ties all this together. We know the first coming of Jesus Christ took place in a manger. The second coming of Jesus Christ will take place in the sky, in the air, in the clouds. This same book, 1 Thessalonians, this beautiful epistle that the Holy Spirit of God, the pneumos of God, inspired Paul to write along with Timotheus, Timothy, and Silas. He said, this is a model church. This is a great church. We can learn much from this church. He wanted to make sure he included the second coming of Jesus Christ. Not only the first coming of Jesus, watch this. The first coming of Jesus in a manger, yes. And some 33 years later, the Bible here in the same epistle, this letter, speaks of his death, his burial, and his blessed what class? It starts with an R. His resurrection. Okay, so we have his birth. We have his sacrifice. But what I really get excited about is found in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. Not only did he come, not only did he die for the sins of mankind, he's coming again. Look in verse 13. God said, I'm not the author of confusion. I don't want you to be ignorant about this. Concerning those which are asleep. Now that's a metaphor for those who died. Think about this. With 100% certainty, everybody here in this room and those listening by radio are going to die. How morbid is that? It would be if there was no hope. But the children today, they lit the hope candle. You know what that word hope means in the Greek language? Confidence. It's not cross your heart, hope to die. Well, I hope I get to go to heaven. No, it means you can know with confidence. And here Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the second return of Jesus Christ. When he's coming, this is with confidence he writes this. He says, since you believe in verse 14, since you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the grave, even so those also which are dead or sleep now in Jesus, God's going to bring with him. Isn't that amazing? All the graves of the believers will break open. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We're going to read that right here. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord in verse 15, that we which are alive and remain, if it happens today, we're still here today, we remain until the coming of the Lord shall not proceed, prevent them which are asleep. What's going to take place? For the Lord, in verse 16, himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Everyone say shout. With a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I always want to have Jeff hiding in the back when I'm reading this portion of scripture and him pull out one of his beautiful trumpets and he blows the trumpet of God. Dun, 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 and we look around. Is that the rapture? No, it's just Jeff playing a trumpet. Why? He's not the archangel. He just got your attention, just like I'm getting your attention. That's not the rapture, because you and I won't be here. What? The trumpet of God's going to blow, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we, which remain, will be able, alive, will be caught up to the Lord with them here in the air. Here's a gift, a Christmas gift for you today, wrapped in the love, the hope of God. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, those who are dead. But we, which are alive, if it happens today, how do we know the rapture hadn't taken place? Because we're still here. How many of you know that you know that you know that you're heaven bound? Would you raise your hand? There should be no question. If not, by the end of today's service, we want to invite you to trust Christ as Savior. It's a gift underneath the Christ tree that many people never open. Isn't that amazing? How would you feel as men, as women, and you went and you bought your spouse or your children, your grandchildren, the perfect gift? You've been saving for it all year long, Jan, all year long. And you take this gift, it's beautifully decorated and wrapped here, you put it underneath the tree, and at the end of the celebration, you ask your husband, Jim, did you notice there's one more gift underneath the tree? You're anxiously waiting for him to open it. Ladies, put yourself here. Girls, you get excited about Christmas. What if your scoundrel of a husband said, yeah, I see it underneath there. That's all right. I think I'd leave it there for a while. It hurts your feelings. But what if he didn't open it the next day, or the next day, or the next day? And after a while, you say, honey, it's time to take down the Christmas decorations. We need to take down the Christ tree, the Christmas tree. We still got a gift underneath there. Yeah, I know it. Wouldn't you like to open it today? Nah, I just don't really feel like it. That's a picture of God who sent the perfect gift to mankind, wrapped in a manger underneath the Christ tree, died on the tree of Calvary. And many people say, yeah, I know it's there. Maybe I'll open it later. No, look. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which remain behind shall be caught up. That's the word snatching away. That's where we get our word rapture from in the English language. With them and go meet the Lord in the air. And here we find in verse 18, God's gift. This should bring us comfort. This should bring us comfort. Certainly we believe in heaven. Yes, we also believe in hell. And Jesus Christ came so no one would have to go to hell. How many of you know that Jesus never created hell for mankind? How many of you know that? The Bible says he created hell for the devil and his warriors, his demons, not mankind. So to reject the gift of God is going against God's perfect love plan. Wow. Well, how does all this tie together? Well, look with me again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7, as well as the overhead. I'm going to invite you. Here we complete God's picture for the model church. We want to be that model church. Amen? And I know others do as well. God gave us not only a formula, a book of facts. He said, I will bless you if you follow my word and do some things like this first church. So follow along on the overhead as well as inside of your sermon notes section. Open your worship guide. Even if you're not accustomed to keeping the blanks, filling in the blanks down here, this time I'm going to invite you to do so, because this is not some little homiletical masterpiece. This is not some little cutesy sermon. This is the answer. This is the answer to how to have a productive church for the Lord. You deviate from this, and God says, I'm going to leave you alone. I'll let you do your own business. But if you want to include me, it's going to take seven things down here. How many know that the word seven, the numerical order of seven, is the numerical number of completion in the Bible? Usually when you see seven in the Bible, it means it's complete, it's whole. So when God gave me this message, I said, Lord, there's seven things down here. He said, that's all you need. That's all you need. Seven things we find here in verse number 7 of chapter 1 to this model church. Look at the overhead. You became examples, models to everyone, to everyone. The definition for that word example is tupos. That's a Greek definition. Now, I know that impresses you. Here's what should impress you. That's a word for impression. Tupos means to make an impression, to strike a die, to die cast, to make a mold, a model, to make an impression upon someone. We're not trying to be Greek scholars. We want to be Christians living today and being tupos, types of Christ. And this church was truly a type of Christ. So we've learned here over the past few weeks, seven things how this church was a type of Christ, a model church, a model ship to be followed. The first thing we find out in week number 1, this is good for review. This is good for review. And when we be blessed as a church, we must do some things. We found here in verse number 1, they make reference to Jesus Christ. Here it is, the Savior must be exalted. Write that down, please. The Savior must be exalted, not a pastor. When I'm around my ministerial friends, I hear someone say, yep, down in my church, we're doing thus and so. I always say, man, can I shake your hand? Can I shake your hand? Well, yeah, I'm proud of my church. I say, I want to shake your hand because I'm looking for the nail scars. I don't see nail scars on your hand. That's not your church. That's a church of Jesus Christ. That would be a great place for believers to say amen. Your preacher may struggle with a lot of things, folks. It's not pride. I know my place. I'm just a messenger pointing people to Jesus. Amen. That's why you and I are supposed to be types of Christ, tupos, images. God struck our hearts. We want to make an impression on others. Everything at Christmas, especially what a golden time to point others to Jesus Christ. Look around this room. Look around. I'm telling you, I could take 10 hours, literally, and describe how all these beautiful decorations, how all these things here point us to Jesus. But let me just call attention to the Christ tree itself. The world calls it the Christmas tree. It's a Christ tree. Notice with me the color of it. It's evergreen, as we learned with the Advent wreath up here. That's constant. You can go in the woods right now, you'll see the oaks, the elms, all the others have lost their leaves. But you will find certain trees are known as evergreen trees. That's a picture of an evergreen tree, representing God's evergreen, constant love for us. That's a Savior tree. That's a Christ tree. By the way, what design is that? It looks like a triangle, doesn't it? Doesn't it look like a triangle? It does to me. And when you think of tri, I think of trinity, trinity. That's a picture of the trinity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. We've already pointed out it's a tree. But again, look at this, friends. This is a teaching moment for your boys and girls. Most people put up a Christmas tree, they don't think anything about it. What's at the top of the Christmas tree? A crown. Anybody remember the tree at Calvary? The tree at Calvary. When Jesus Christ died for the sins of mankind, this is a Christ tree. A Christmas tree. Evergreen, His love for us is always available. Shaped in form of the Trinity, pointing to God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. It's lit with lights here. Jesus Christ said, I'm the light of the world. You don't want to be in darkness anymore. All these things here point to Jesus. The cross at the top. He died on the cross at Calvary for you and for me. Points it. Now, all these beautiful ornaments. For 10,000 Bible points, where's my ladies and men who made these? The men cut them out in Luan, the teenagers sanded them, and the ladies adorned them with beautiful paint and sparkles. What are these ornaments called? Chrismons. A chrismon is a combination of two words, a Christian monogram. In 1959, some ladies in a church in Danville, Virginia, said that they were decorating a tree in their church, and they said, you know, all that's good, but we ought to have specific Bible-based ornaments. And they said, let's come up with a name. What do we call them? Christmas ornaments. And someone said, why isn't that a Christian monogram? A Christian Christmas monogram. And someone said, there's already a word for that. It's called a chrismon, Christ monogram. Now, your homework's going to be, if the preaching gets to be boring, look over at the Christ tree. Your homework is each of these beautiful ornaments, decorated in white, represented his purity, the gold, his royalty, the silver, his power, his wealth, all these things, each one of these has a Bible verse or Bible verses behind them. Can you see any of that hanging there on that chrismon tree? I do. I see the Alpha and Omega. What does that mean in the Greek language? The beginning and the ending there. I see sheep up there. Do we not have a shepherd? Do you not see that? I see a dove up there. What does a dove represent of Jesus Christ? What about all these other things? The cross and the praying hands. What do all these things mean? There's Bible verses behind each one of these. Friends, we don't adorn God's house. We don't spend God's money and decorate His house just so everyone can come in and say, look how beautiful this is. No! You do this to point people to Jesus. Why? Because we want to, number one, exalt the Savior. You see that down there? Exalt the Savior. This church exalts the Savior. This church talked about Jesus Christ all the time. You find this in a beautiful epistle here. All the time, including His second return, His coming again. Yes, thank you, Lord. The second thing we learn down here, not only will the Savior again be blessed, but also the Spirit will be included. Spirit will be experienced. Look at this on the overhead. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Follow on with your eyes as well as your Bible. How the gospel came not only to you in word only, but in power in who? The Holy Spirit of God. I recently heard Charles Stanley say, it is a mockery in churches today, even Baptist churches, Bible-believing Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, whatever, that talk about God the Father all the time. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we certainly give credit to Jesus Christ. We exalt Him. But where's the Holy Spirit of God? The third person of the Trinity. That's like that unopened gift down here underneath the tree. How does the Holy Spirit of God feel? I tell you exactly how He feels. The Bible says He's grieved when we put Him on a shelf. He's grieved when we want to talk about the Holy Ghost of God. That's exactly how He feels. We limit Him. We grieve Him. We quench the Spirit. I want to be a Spirit-led church. How about you? And a Spirit-led church, friends, look at the overhead, will exalt the Savior, and will also turn loose, will experience the Spirit of God. Now, this again is not some little homiletical outline from seminary. I know it's literated. It's easy for me to remember. This is from the Word of God. How the Holy Spirit came. Look in the next one down here. And the joy of the Holy Spirit was experienced. The joy of the Holy Spirit was experienced. It doesn't mean you're not going to be going through a trial right now. It doesn't mean you and I won't go through problems in life, through ups and downs. But I love this. I love this. The joy and peace at Christmas is not the absence of problems. It's the presence of the Spirit. Let me say it again. You and I, especially at Christmas, it's a horrible time sometimes, even for Christian families, bickering and fighting and schedules, everybody pointing, and a lack of money or a lack of concern or just all the stuff we have to deal with as Christians at the most wonderful time of the year, Andy Williams said. And by the way, Jesus said that as well. His birth should be special. I'm not going to let the devil rob me of the joy of Jesus this Christmas. How about you? My schedule, my time, my interest, my investments, as we exalting the Savior while experiencing the Spirit. Problems, the presence of problems, again, does not prove the presence or disprove the presence of the Spirit of God. You and I need to walk in the Spirit. We need to operate in the Spirit. We need to pray in the Spirit. This church was doing it down here. It's not the absence, it's the presence of the King of Kings and Lord over all. Oh, how I wish we could experience a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost Christmas where the Savior is exalted, the Spirit is experienced, and thirdly down here, and salvation is offered. Salvation is explained. This church got it. They said this down here. How the word of the Lord sounded from you. The word of the Lord. Well, what does the word of the Lord say about salvation? Here's a third point. It's the Savior, the Spirit. Salvation! This is it. Dr. Bruce Wilkinson said we must hear something seven times. And some of you educators probably know this as well, you school teachers. A student must hear something seven times before they can remember it. When I was in school, it's probably 70 times seven, amen? I was a slow learner. But if I really sharpen my axe, if I go into the presence of God, if I pray in the Spirit, I say, Lord, I need to memorize these scriptures. I'm going to be going and preaching or whatever it is. God will allow me to anoint His Word through me if I see it seven times. It works in my life. That's why we have seven principles down here. Exalting the Savior, right? Experiencing the Spirit and examining and explaining the salvation portion of Scripture. The word of the Lord came from you, talking about this church, and how you served this living, this true God, and how you were told to wait on His Son from heaven. We just read that. This is not Paul's word. This is not the church at Thessalonica, their word. How you, by the word of the Lord, bragged on Jesus, and you're looking forward to His return again, and here it is, here's salvation. If Jesus would have remained in the grave, everyone here would be headed to hell. Let me say it again. If Jesus would have remained in the grave, we'd all be going to hell. But He didn't stay in the grave. How many of you know by a show of both hands, up from the grave He arose? Raise your hands. Goodness! Yes! Victory in Jesus! Wow! If that didn't get you excited, you might want to check your love for God today. Think about that. The Holy Ghost of God in you, when you hear about the blessed resurrection of Jesus Christ, about His return, should excite us. That's the joy of Jesus. Not the absence of problems, but the joy, the presence of Jesus through the power of the Holy Ghost. Look at this. He raised Him from the dead, Jesus. And what does He do? He delivers us from the wrath of God to come. The wrath to come for sinners. We don't need to raise our hands anymore. And you certainly don't need to point at your neighbor. But the Bible says we all are sinners. Don't point. We all are sinners. But we can be saved from our sin, the Adamic nature. We can walk in the Spirit. We can be controlled by the Spirit. And one day we'll be able to stand before God. He's going to say, why shall I allow you into my heaven? Well, I went to church. He said, so did the devil. Well, I believed in Jesus. So did the devil. Well, I trusted Jesus, the Lord and Savior, repented of my sin. He said, now that's it. Repent and believe and receive. We spend a lot of time, Andy, we spend a lot of time on repeat after me. Say this little prayer. God is great, God is good, forgive me. And we spend a lot of time on repeat and not on repent. Think about that. Repeat the prayer and everybody gets to go to heaven. Where's the repentance part? God wants to save us from our sin. You must repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn back to God. Ask Him to save you, and He'll do that for you. I remember many years ago, I hate to admit this, I've been cussed out in church more than one time, and this woman was just irate. It wasn't this church, so you don't need to connect the dots. It wasn't this area. We were having a fabulous vacation Bible school, and the lesson used the book of Romans as some of the scriptures, talk about how all have sinned, there's none righteous, no, not one. And the kids were learning as memory Bible verses. And we even had it in a song, how Jesus Christ came and died for the sinners of the world. A mother came who dropped off a child and she was furious. Don't you dare tear my child, who, by the way, was about 9 years old, that she's a sinner. That girl doesn't sin. That girl's not a sinner. How dare you to do that? I said, ma'am, we didn't tell your daughter she was a sinner. The Bible did. She said, we're not sinners. I said, ma'am, your speech alone proves that you're a sinner. A soft answer turneth away wrath. How many of you know that? That child got saved that week. I could have stood in a parking lot with my dear sweet wife and argued with this woman back and forth. We just gave her the love of Jesus Christ, told her what the Bible had to say. The next day when she showed up with her child, the teachers were talking, so-and-so's here, so-and-so's here. And I said, you know why? Why? Because salvation's at stake. Because the Spirit of God moved on that mother and that father. Because Jesus was exalted. Folks, it all fits together. When that child got gloriously saved, the mother showed up and said, hallelujah. And I said, now, how about you? How about you? Folks, people who aren't like us, typos of Christ, don't get mad at them. You may be the only Bible they ever read. You may be the only Christ they ever see. You and I must put a smile on our face. And the joy of Jesus, we must explain salvation. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is available for you today. Well, what's the next thing we learn down here? The Scriptures must be used. The Scriptures must be examined. God will bless a church. It's about the Savior, the Spirit, all these things. But the Scriptures, yes. Paul said this, not at any time do we use our own words. We didn't use it. Paul said, I'm not using these words. The last thing he said here in chapter 5, make sure you read this epistle from God. I was just the stenographer. I was the one who wrote this down, okay? The Scriptures must be used. And I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to everyone. That's why we still do that today. How we must use the Holy Bible. Each and every Sunday we come together. We must explain salvation. By the way, did anybody see our first Advent devotion on Facebook this morning? Wasn't that blessed? Do you like titles? You like titles for messages or titles for a devotion? Huh? Did you like that one on there? I'm not going to tell you what it is. It has something to do with a star. And Elaine blessed my heart. If you read it, you go travel back many years with Elaine as a child with her mother walking out on a starlit night, looking up to the stars, not looking for the eastern star, but for the star of David, the true meaning of Christmas. And then she extends salvation through the Bible. Catch the title. Elaine, I'm stealing that one. Hey, I'm telling you right now, you're going to hear that one again. One of my favorite preachers in the world used to say when all the preacher boys got together in seminary, and they would say, Dr. So-and-so, is it okay if we use some of your titles and some of your messages? Because they're powerful stuff. We know it's anointed from God. He said, boys, if my gospel bullets will fit your gospel gun, load and shoot at will. Amen? Shoot it. So, Elaine, I'm putting that in my gospel gun. I'm going to use that again. Make sure you join up. And by the way, we need to hear from many more of you. We gave out about 70 different applications here, little forms. Please make sure you turn those in with your poems, with your messages, with your favorite Christmas story, and we'll try to share those because we have many people who can't make it to church because they have to work or they're homebound, shut in. Every morning they're going to wake up to a new Christmas devotion that's about Christ the Savior, by the Holy Spirit of being anointed, through the Word of God, for the Word of God, and more. Wow, well, let's hurry here. What's the next one we learned? After the Scriptures are being used, the Scriptures are examined, the saints of God are encouraged. They're exhorted. My goodness, we're a hospital. We're a hospital. We're supposed to be a place of refuge. We don't want to bicker and fight and carry on. Don't fill in the blank here. Have you ever been in a church that people want to bicker and fight and gossip and all that? Isn't that horrible? Isn't that horrible? Nobody wants to go to that church. This church didn't do that. This church, they exhorted. Look at this. As you know, how we exhorted, we comforted, and we charged every one of you as a father does his own children. Folks, we're a house of refuge. We're a hospital. The person sitting next to you, in front of you, behind you, is not like you. That'll make you better or worse than them, just different people. But it's all level at the cross of Jesus Christ. God's not done with some of us. He's still working on us. But salvation is available for everybody. So if you're hurting, you're sick, you're in the right place. If you're struggling, you're in the right place. You have others you can pray for and lift up, you're in the right place. Well, what's the next thing? I've already made reference to it. We got to expose sin. Now, up to this point, everybody's clapping and carrying on. Yeah, we believe in the Savior. We love the Spirit. Oh, man, I read my Bible, them Scriptures. Yep, salvation. Yep, just don't talk about sin. Don't talk about sin. Look in chapter 2. Chapter 2, we got to finish here. Chapter 2, if you weren't here last week, friends, chapter 2, verses 11 through 18, talks about how they encourage one another, how we should walk worthy of God. Look in verse number 12. Chapter 2, verse number 12. This is an expectation of God where sin is exposed. Of course, he said, I want you to walk worthy. You know, Paul said to another church, he said, listen, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's the holy temple of God. He said, you didn't pay for this. God did. So walk worthy of God. And we thank God for using the word in verse 13, the word of God, the word of the Lord effectually. How in verse 14, how you are typos, how you are imitators, you are followers of us again. But notice verse 15 and 16, how the evil one, Satan, uses some people. They killed the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophets, and they're persecuting us. It shouldn't surprise us when we're persecuted for the cause of Jesus Christ. Remember years ago, there was a war on what you and I have expressed here today many, many, many times. It's okay to say Merry Christmas. And I've got a button that said that. Dr. James Dobson put it out with his wife, Shirley. It's okay to say Merry Christmas. It backfired on the Christmas community. You know why some people say Happy Holidays? Because their employer makes them say Happy Holidays. So when you go through Walmart, Target, your favorite restaurant, you say Merry Christmas, they say thank you, Happy Holidays. Don't snarl at them and bite their head off. Brr, Merry Christmas, I said. And they say, you know, I like to say Merry Christmas too, but it's against the policy here and I can't. But thank you for being a blessing. It backfired on us. And I was so glad. Merry Christmas, a war against Christmas. Friend, of course those who killed Jesus, they had offspring. The offspring of the lost today, they're not the enemy. Who's the enemy? Who comes to kill, steal, and destroy? Who's the enemy? The devil, not others. Don't you want to tell others about Jesus Christ here at Christmas, the greatest gift ever given? Yes. Well, the sin is exposed, of course. And it will keep showing up over and over and over again. I don't mind telling you, we men outside this morning, we were almost cussing. Now, I know that's a stretch. But Joe and Alfred and others, they work on the building and grounds around here to the glory of God, and they vacuum the grass around here. I mean, I'm telling you, they're out there with a vacuum. It's beautiful. And all the leaves fell off all the trees, with the exception of those beautiful, ornate Bradford pears. You ever have any of those in your yard? They're beautiful. They're very expensive, but also very, very brittle. You know any Christians like that? I'm very beautiful. Just don't touch me. A storm comes, I break off. Well, that's what a Bradford pear would do. But we cut these back real heavy just a couple of years ago. Now look how beautiful and ornate. They're shaped like a heart. But all the leaves were taken up, and we were down here looking, saying, wow, it's going to be beautiful tomorrow. The house is adorned. We got up this morning. The Bradford pears are losing their leaves by the truckloads. It's just like sin. I told Joe Bennett, it's just like sin. Joe said, I think I got my leaf blower. I said, no, I agree with Alfred. Alfred, what's the answer to them Bradford pears out there? Ring, 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 ring. I'm going on record saying I will never cut the Bradford pears. If you find them cut to the ground, you know who did it. Amen. Folks, we got to finish up here. The last thing we learned, all these things, service is expected. This church, as well as this church back in this day, the church of Thessalonica, as well as today, service is expected. We're asked to do something for God. Work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. You want to work out your salvation, meaning God loved you. Show Him in return. Come down here and hang a Christmas wreath. Teach a class. We got a new class starting next week for boys and girls. We're very, very excited about. We got three or four families bringing more children. Aren't you excited about that? That people come together and teach the Word of God? Yes. So here's the closing Christmas question. Service. How you turn from your idols to serve the living and true God and to labor among you. To serve God, to labor. Do you have anything planned for God this Christmas, laboring for Him? Do you? Any special visits? Any special caroling? Any special gifts? What are you doing now? How are you giving back? How are you expressing? How am I expressing my love for the Lord? Well, preacher, it ain't none of your business. It's not my business. I'm asking you the classic Christmas question. Are you serving God? Here it is. Do you have room for Jesus this Christmas? That's the question. Do you and I have room for Jesus in our hearts, in our schedules, in our wallets, through the Lottie Moon Mission Offering for our missionaries overseas, and others? Do we have room and time for Jesus through our labor, our love, and our service? Wow. Here's my last challenge. Look at the overhead. Let's be that church, shall we? Let's be this church at Thessalonica. Everything from the Savior to the service. This is not going away. God just told me this week in my quiet time with Him. I'm going to make this simple little outline. We're going to post it around the church. So if we ever get off kilter, we ever get out of the Lord's will, we can go back and say, oh, I forgot. That's item number 4. That's principle number 6. Oh, yeah, I forgot. The number 1 is the number 1 for a reason. It's about who? The Savior, Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Now, Jesus, wow. Our mere words cannot express our true love for You, for providing eternity, for sending the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and now for hand-delivering this prayer to God the Father. Wow. Jesus, we love You. And I'm just man enough to say it, especially here at Christmas. And may we express this love through these 7 simple principles, up to and including serving You somehow this Christmas season. Dear God, please continue to bless us for the sole purpose of us being a blessing to others less fortunate. Now, Jesus, also, we know that Your gift of salvation that has been expressed, defined, and described here many, many times is still available today. So in the quietness of the next few moments, would You, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost of God, will You talk to 1, 2, 3 or more people here who may be without this gift in their life? I'll pause so You can move. Friend, is that you? I'm going to be quiet. But we're going to sing a song softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Is that you? While the instruments come forward this time, ask yourself, have I ever received, opened, and thank God for the greatest gift ever given, the gift of salvation? Oh, it's there. You just got to look for it underneath the Christ tree. There it is, there it is. Now, would you open it and thank God for it? Father, into Your presence we come.